For our Bible reading tonight, I want to turn to the book of Ephesians in chapter 5 and start at verse 22 and then read into chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 22, and I'll read down to chapter 6 and verse 9. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of this portion from his holy inspired word. Now, as you know, we began a series last week, which is a little different kind of series than I'm in the habit of doing. We mostly do Bible study and exposition. At time to time, however, we do subject studies, and this is really in the area of the home, as we have done in the past, but at least in the beginning of it, I wanted to deal with it by way of a specific sub-theme, and that is to consider some of the home ministries that are there and to think about what their teachings and influences are and to try to recognize the things that are good in them and to see that we embrace them and to recognize also the things that are not good in them, that are bad, and to see that we do not embrace those. In other words, as I tried to explain in our introduction to the series last week, this is not an area where people are at liberty to say, well, I don't agree with that group because of their position on prophecy or whatever, and therefore to throw out everything they say as being bad. And neither is it a good idea to say, I like their stand on certain issues and standards in the home, and therefore I'm not going to be discerning about the other things that go along with the package. And as I mentioned last week, there's one really prominent ministry that is out there. And I, again, when I gave the title to my message, I titled it very carefully, What to Take and What to Leave of the Vision Forum Genre. And by this, I'm saying that Vision Forum is a ministry or a presence out there that represents a certain number of ideas. They produce a lot of books and they do a lot of teaching. They have internet presence, they have a website, they have a large store, and they're involved in speaking, I believe, and various things like that. And most people know something of the ministry that they have. I'm not saying that everything specifically that I mention in this is necessarily embraced systematically by, let's say, Mr. Phillips, who's the president of Vision Forum. He may or may not, but most of the things, in, at least in these opening messages, come more or less directly out of the books and material that they are printing, they have their own name upon, in which they sell. So this is not a denomination as such, but there's a ministry, they are involved in printing books, they're involved in a number of things, and There are certain teachings which are prominent and which are being championed by certain key figures and spokesmen and representatives and representational persons in that. And I know it's an area where there are differences of beliefs. Whenever we teach from the Bible in areas of the home, there are certain things which are very clear biblical mandates. We know also in the home there are differences. There are no two homes which are exactly the same. There are different ways of going about certain things. And no doubt there is a certain sphere of liberty within that. If the Bible doesn't speak upon it to condemn it, and somebody has it as part of their home structure, who is somebody else to condemn it? At the same time, neither should it be made a law for a second party because one person likes to do it. And there are differences. All of our homes are somewhat different, different personalities, but there are some distinct features, and the Bible is the source for all of our knowledge and understanding in it. So again, this is what to take and what to leave from the Vision Forum genre. And I thought, tonight I wanted to launch more directly into specifics. I kind of had an introductory message last week. And I thought it best probably to launch into the specifics, which are in the area of practices, first of all, rather than theology. And both of these things I want to consider. They have a body of teaching, and they also have a number of ideas, practices, and standards for the home. So that when I get to the doctrinal part of it, and hopefully you have a little bit of an overview, kind of a bird's eye view of what some of the teachings and the character of it, you'll be able to understand where the doctrines come from and be able to be more conscious of what to avoid should you be buying their material or using it in some way. I said last week, I think as well, that it's in the area of practices that they probably have their greatest strength. Things like standards for the home, values, many of them are good. And it's in the areas of theology that have the greatest concerns. You can't totally separate them at any two times, of course, because even practical instructions are instructions and doctrine of a certain nature. But we're going to go in that direction, at least, of more practical matters. One more comment, I guess, just by way of review from what I said last week. I think one of the greatest dangers in this ministry, in this direction, in this movement, is overreaction. That is to say, they've observed and recognized real problems, and they've tried to deal with them. And being connected to some belief structures which would be different than your average independent Baptist church, they have not been kept from some overreactions and embracing some things and teaching some things which I have some very serious concerns about. Now tonight, what I want to deal with, I said it's practical. I guess if I would put a title on my message, I'd call it roles. And that's one of the reasons why I began with this text in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. The Bible certainly does teach us about roles. It teaches us about the roles within the home. There is a place for fathers. There is a place for mothers. There is a place for sons and daughters. And then going a step farther back than that, God has a role in mind for the home itself to play. And he has a role for the church, and he has a role for the state, we might add, as well. And in some of these roles, again, we're going to find, I think, both good and bad. But one of the things that becomes obvious immediately when you start to read the material and consider it is that this Vision Forum movement, if you want to call it that, although it's a specific name, has taken thought for roles. It has gone far beyond being just a source of homeschool curriculum. And as I mentioned before, you all know that we homeschooled. We had five children. We took them from kindergarten to grade 12. I think I added up a total of 65 years of homeschooling altogether in it. So we're in favor of homeschooling as a family. Some have not gone that route, and we respect decisions of other people make within their homes. However, things have been changing within the homeschool presence since I started it. And there were things afoot back at that time that I had some concerns about, and some of these things have taken shape and have matured into things that I am even more concerned about. These movements, these schools of thought, have gone far beyond offering Bible-based curriculum on history and literature and things like that, and they have gone into the matter of the home and taught systems of thought in regard to the home. And it behooves us, and it behooves me as a pastor of the church, to review these things and to compare them to the Scripture, so that those that are maybe using it or involved in it in somewhat would be alerted to potential dangers that are out there. So, in other words, and this is something that I really want to focus on tonight, these teachings of Vision Forum have gone far beyond just exhortations to do a good job at what you're doing. In other words, this has been kind of the nature of home ministries in the past, saying, you know, you fathers do a better job at being a father like you should, and you mothers, you know what your job is, do a better job at it. And the exhortations with a few passages like Titus and saying, you know, this is your job, you know what it is, do a better job. But these ministries have gone to the point where they have redefined the job. In other words, they have a new model. They have a reworked paradigm for the home and the place of it. One of the words that they like to use is worldview. It's one that you see flashed around. And when I first heard the use of this worldview, I thought it was probably a term that was suited to something of an interdenominational mindset. They don't deal with so much with distinctives, Bible distinctives, and needs to separate accordingly, but they talk in this matter of a worldview, which by the nature of the term is slightly different. But going down that road, they have a new paradigm. They're thinking in a different way. Now, if that thinking turns out to reflect in some ways something that's closer to what the Bible teaches, then we have to be prepared to change our thinking. But as in any time, and if you've been around Bible-believing circles for any time, you know that fads and movement and schools of thought have a way of coming in and gaining a large presence in Bible-believing churches. And after a while, everybody says, this is the new thing. This is the answer to everything. They go down that way. And then after some sober reflection, after some years for the teaching to bear fruit, many times is a looking back and saying, that went too far, or that really wasn't right. Everybody was caught up with it at the moment. So we have to be prepared. Despite the noble purposes it may well be in some of these things, we have to be prepared to compare it to the Scripture and be ready with a Bible answer. So again, it's difficult for me to organize these things. I'm trying to structure it as much as I can, deal with it systematically. But as soon as I touch one thing, I have kind of an outline page at home where I've kind of jotted down the things that I'm concerned about. I automatically tend to want to branch over there and show how things interrelate, because it's a system of thought. It's a system of thought. But I'm going to try to consider this matter of roles. Before we do that, let's just bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Father, that we have a standard which is absolute. We have something that we can take and we can look into and we can compare. We can discern the spirits, we can discern the doctrines, we can discern the practices, because we have a rule for faith and practice, which is your word. Guide us in the use of it, Father. We need not only your word, but we need the help of the indwelling Spirit. We need your light to shine upon our minds and hearts to be kept right. And we ask for your help in these things. We pray that you'd bless this little study, and it might be a help to homes and a help to Christians, and that your name would be glorified, and things would be dealt with properly and fairly and honestly. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me start by just saying a word again, and I suppose I mentioned something about this last week, about existing problems. There is a real problem there. These ministries, such as these, or others that have come down through the years, rise up because there's a need, because things aren't right. And every one of those institutions that I mentioned, every one of those bodies or institutions that God has laid the plan for in his word, whether it be the home or the state or the church, they all have problems today. And so the homes are having problems. That's sure. So as we look at the things homes are experiencing today, and I'm thinking even of Christian homes in fundamentalist circles, there's problems there that weren't there when I was a child. And if they were there, they were only there in seed form, and certainly not on the scale that they're there today. There are problems arising. And it does behoove people, when they see situations arising, to be prepared to respond to them in some way. And so correction is required, and that includes within fundamentalism. So we can't just say we're fundamentalists. We don't need anybody teaching us about the home. Teachings about the home refer to us, and as I tried to mention this morning, it's not enough for us to have a very pure and clear-cut doctrinal statement in our Constitution. if in some other way the world is gaining access to our homes and our children and causing problems because of a failure to really soberly consider the mechanisms of what are going on and to respond in a biblical way that are in keeping with our responsibilities. And so I believe, and to their credit, that Vision Forum has tried to respond to these. Now, I believe Vision Forum has some real problems, and I'm continuing, as I say, to use this term in a genre sense. They're the main one that I know of in their teachings and their influence, and no doubt there are others. And we don't want to be infected with the things that they have wrong, but they have identified, because of their focus and taking thought for the home, they have identified some things which are real failures and disorders in Christian homes. And some of their solutions, and I have some underlined, are going in the right direction. Some of their solutions are going in the right direction. So, and that's why I carefully try to direct this series towards what to take and what to leave. There is a big danger, and there is a big price to be paid if we ignore either danger. If we say, no, these homes ministries have nothing to, they're just alarmists, there's no dangers facing our homes, that's a danger. And if we think of it that way, we'll pay for it down the road. That's why these areas, they're no place for us just to be dogmatists or just to give our opinions. We better soberly consider what the facts are, because it will be in the home that the fruit of our beliefs and our practice will be borne down the road. And there are people here that are younger and maybe getting to the point where they're just starting homes or not far away from it. These issues will become more of an issue as you go on to start your homes, even than they were when I was starting up, because the times are going down a certain course. And the Christians have to be prepared to respond to things that are out there if you want to see your home preserved. The other danger is, look, the homes are a mess, you know, and be like Chicken Little or whatever was going around, the sky is falling, and just be prepared for any solution that comes. Beware when a solution to the problem in the home brings with it things which are just as serious and just as dangerous. So there are those two extremes on either side, and let us try to be biblicists about this and try to observe what the problems are and what are the right biblical response to them. So let me just say a little bit about roles for the home. This is the ministry, this is the area that at least this Vision Forum has begun. And it is correctly discerned evil. And the first one I want to mention is this presence in our society of renouncing gender specificness. That is to say, we live in a day when Satan has so moved in the thinkers of this world that they want to deny that there is a distinction in the genders. That basic statement that God made male and female is abhorrent to them. They hate the thought, and that when you find anything tearing down the distinctions between male and female, I can tell you who's behind it ultimately, and it's the devil. Because God's plan was to make male and female, and he did that for our good. It is his plan, it is his purpose, and if it's torn down so that it would pretend there are no, so that some would pretend there are no differences and not like to have anything distinctive about the roles that are being played by them, it is of Satan. And I think of the Vision for our ministry, I would commend them in some of the things that they have in their store. They have toys, as I mentioned before. They have gender-specific toys. I don't think it's a great evil if your little girl decides to play with her brother's truck. But at the same time, I'm not going to buy a Barbie doll for my little boy. Why not start when they're little and start teaching them you're a boy? And to teach them gender-specific teaching to go along and to enforce them in the way God made them. That's not, what could be evil about that? God made them male. Teach them about being a male and what male things are. And in their store, they've got lots of toys like this, and even books in the sense of the storybooks. They try to have storybooks that children can read, which aren't filled with worldliness and smut and this type of thing, and which will, you know, enhance bravery and things like that in the lads, and teach the ladies to be proper young ladies. And this, it's important to do this. If it wasn't important, Satan wouldn't be so busy trying to capture the minds of the young the way he is by getting into things such as public schooling and various things. And our society's been captured by pro-homosexual interests on every hand. And A society that renounces the Bible in such basic areas like this has lost its moorings, but we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to take thought that we are not caught along with that. So this is a good thing. This is a good thing. We should want to have this in our children. And the Vision Forum also produces a lot of teaching on home order. As I say, they've kind of gone beyond just giving curriculum in these home ministries that are out there today. And I don't even know if these people do have specifically curriculum. I suppose they do. But the home ministries have gone beyond. And it's not all bad. And so Vision Forum, for example, produces a lot of teaching on home order, has to do with the roles of fathers. Teaching fathers to be responsible fathers. You know, there's a real tendency in males to be fun lovers and to go through life with the purpose of having fun. And they're teaching sobriety and to be responsible fathers, and that's a good thing. Take thought that they're going to answer for their home someday before God. The men will give account, that we will give account. It teaches also, in many places, support of wives, that when God made man and woman, he said that man needed a help meet for him, and that he created woman. And this is basic to the woman's purpose. This is not a downgrading of the woman, as the feminists have taught. This is what her purpose is. And if man will sacrificially, at his own expense, lead a home for its own good, and if women will sacrificially be supportive of that, you have good principles of Bible order. And along with that, of course, children that are in obedience to their parents. Those are good things. Some of the areas I'm going to get to before we're done the series go into this area that I mentioned where I think they take certain things too far. They come to conclusions that are overreactions. However, in general, as far as these things that I mentioned go, those are good things. There are many specific areas of advice that they have and teach on. For example, and I got to leave these for another lesson, things like dating, courtship issues, modesty standards and dress, work questions about, you know, children in the workplace when they get to a certain age and what should be the principles underlying it, education, home ministries, authority structure. I want to look at all these things and what they teach. And I want to try to identify, from my perspective, what I think are good and what I think are going too far or are bad. But we're thinking of roles here tonight, and I just can't take everything into one message. I would be all over the map. So we'll get to those things, Lord willing, in later messages, and I envision is taking a number of weeks to deal with these things. Again, in favor of Vision Forum, they do endorse something which is getting very small in the thinking of the Western world today, and that is a certain family-centeredness. And this has some good points to it, to a point. It's good to a point. In other words, our society, in its efforts to tear down families, whether you like to admit it or not, there's a devil out there and he wants to tear down the plan of God. God has instituted a certain blueprint for the well-being of the human, for all mankind, for his people, for society at large. And family does have a key role in it. So when they say certain things, in the correction of what has become, instead of a family-centeredness, which should be there, there's become a self-centeredness. The society is teaching people, don't think about the family, think about yourself. It's influencing mothers and fathers, and it's influencing children. Parents are giving thought for, I don't want families cramping my style. And then children grow up and get to a certain point where they're taught to, instead of what they should be doing, to be supporting the family and being part of a family that's part of God's plan, they're thought about, what can I do for me? And I don't want to get into the area of work specifically here tonight. I want to think a little bit about it in ones to come, but there are dangers there. Children can get to a certain age, and the way our society goes, there's all kinds of work out there in the workplace for children, and they can be taught unintentionally by their parents, hey, your purpose in life is to be self-centered. You go out there and work, do what you want with the money and have fun, and don't think about the home. Well, that's a noticeable change from the way things were in the Bible times. You read in the Bible times where parents said to their children, go out and work in the vineyard. And whose vineyard was it they were working in? And so they contributed to the homes. You know, I think a lot of the materialism and affluence that has affected our society has been a very evil thing. Very evil indeed. And you read the stories of people, you know, 70 or 100 years ago, what people were like in general, all of us. When life was simpler, it seemed to be a greater environment for godliness. And somebody said one time when the Second World War was over, instead of telling people to go home and pray, they told them to go home and spend. And that's what it is. We have developed as a very materialistic society and gone a long way even since the end of the Second World War. So to the credit of Vision Forum, they have been willing to stop and think. And this is something that many people will not do. They are, and this is something that's right to do, but many people are just under an iron rule of their society order. They say, this is how society is in Canada, and we're going to be like everybody else. And I contend that Christians ought not to think that way. Christians need to be people that are willing to stop and think, well, society is like this, but maybe it's not Christian. Just because it's Canadian doesn't make it Christian. So what those roles are that are being taught to all the rest of the young people and also the parents, there is a place for saying, hey, that God had a very special place for the home. And often it has been exchanged for a self-centeredness instead of a home-centeredness. And so as a consequence, people are not investing in their homes, really. And the homes are breaking up and going to pieces. And it's happening in Christian circles because, let's face it, for the most part, Christians are very, very little different than the unbelieving culture that they live in. People need to stop and think, should I be doing this? Is this Christian? Is this something that the Bible teaches me? I don't want to get into that area of money, I said, but there are other considerations. Not every child is out there earning money just to be a hedonist. But, you know, there's such a thing as trying to save for education, all those things. I don't really want to get down that road today. Those are worthwhile purposes and working. The home education movement itself, which I suppose you could say I was part of because I educated my children, has kept many young persons, and this is what was in the back of the minds of many parents. They began to look at the environment of the public schools and of the world in general, and they began to think, things have changed since I was a boy going off to school. When I was a boy going off to public school, they read the Lord's Prayer, they sang O Canada, and this kind of thing. There was no smoking allowed. And since then, God's been kicked out of the schoolhouses, and instead of chewing gum, you know, there's knives and guns and this type of thing. It has changed. And some people have thought and said, why should I want my children to be exposed to that? In other words, they've recognized, many of the homeschoolers have, that young people do not need to be exposed to such things and such dangers and such temptations as the world has out there, like bullies and youth gangs and drug pushers and free love and peer pressure and rock music and all that. Why should they need to be exposed to that? You know, when we grow plants for our garden, we start them off in the nursery, and we don't just say, well, they need to learn what frost is and take the young tomato plants and put them out in the first frosty night and say, let them fend for themselves. But we gradually prepare them for the challenges that are in life. And to take a little tiny child and put them out in the middle of some of those things that are there, and they're here now, this isn't something we say, well, this is something in the Bronx. This is something in Prince Edward Island, and alive and well. So the homeschooling movement has given thought to that and said, we don't want our young people under a peer pressure, with a peer group that are basically sharks and predators, many of them. There's dangers out there among them, not all, I'm not saying that, but they would be exposed to this. And some thought in this has been right and been good in my mind. I believe it. I think it's a good thing. But you can take anything so far that you end up with an evil or a danger on the other side. And these things have happened. And so that's kind of the next side that I want to present here tonight. We spoke last week, and you all know about the effect of the swing of the pendulum. If it's way out here too far, then the pendulum is supposed to swing back to the middle. And often it swings just as far on the other side of what is the place that it should be. And in the Vision Forum genre, there has been an extreme family-centeredness. In other words, it's gone beyond giving thought for the diverging or perverting the biblical order to an extreme family-centeredness. And as I get into some of the doctrines that they hold, you will see that there is a very clear connection between the doctrines they hold and that they hold those doctrines because it's part of a system of thought that includes an extreme family-centered view. In other words, the home in its roles becomes a great overarching principle of all things. And that thinking is in there. And that is not biblical. It is not biblical. So in other words, instead of the home being encroached upon, in their new paradigm, the home begins to encroach, becomes the encroacher, and goes over into other areas. And of course, where can it go but into some of the areas of the other institutions that are distinct in God's plan? And so we think about the home and the church, and it beginning to take on a role that is intended in the Word of God to be a role of the church. And so the home actually becomes somewhat ecclesiastical in nature instead of domestic. It becomes, and I've seen the references to this, and I've read some of their thinkers and the books that they've written, it becomes the essence, for example, of New Testament evangelism. In their thinking, the home is the primary tool of evangelism in the world. And they say that. It becomes also the primary tool of discipleship and spiritual nurturing. Now, everything in its proper place. There's no doubt that godly parents and a godly home will try to use their home presence to reach out. They'll want to reach their neighbors. And that's good. There should be an evangelistic concern in homes that they can win their friends and their children's friends. However, to take it and make it the primary vehicle about and begin to diminish God's plan in the church is a serious departure from the biblical order. And similarly, in regard to discipleship, obviously there's a big area of discipleship. Parents are to bring up their family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But then to say this is the primary tool of discipleship and diminish the place of the church is going down a road that has some real dangers attached to it. It's going beyond a certain reasonable concern to one of extreme view. And the truth is that the home can never replace the role that God has assigned to the church. It can't do it. And it can't do it in evangelism. Read your Bible. And this is in the end how you know when things are going down the wrong road. Read your Bibles. What gift did God give specifically for outreach? What are they called? Evangelists. Who did he give the evangelists to? What were the evangelists given to? What were the gifts given to? They were given to the church. They were given to the church. Acts chapter 13, the first mission program, systematic mission program, the church at Antioch. Where were missionaries sent out from? For world missions. They were sent out from the church at Antioch. It had that role in the Bible. And so to restructure the paradigm and diminish the significance of world missions, and they do that, or some of them do at least that I've read, we need to beware of where are they going with that? What are they thinking? And again, this is something that's for a little bit further down. And as I've watched, and the same with discipling and shepherding. You know, God, as I mentioned this morning, God has a plan for the church. God has a plan for his people. You read the Old Testament, you can basically understand what the basic elements of his plan for his people were. In the New Testament, he has a plan. The church plays a certain role in it. And evidently, even though the most important relationship is you and God, God has planned, for example, of earthly shepherding. One of the words that's used to refer to leaders in church is that they're pastors. So that God has designed a system in which there are people who take thought for the well-being of others spiritually, and they're set aside by God for that purpose of shepherding and of leading God's people. That's a Bible paradigm. That's a model that you find in the scriptures. So any school of thought which diminishes this or tries to detract from this exercise in his church, and that God has given gifts and planned for these things distinctively, beware of it. Some of the directions that I've observed in the vision forum genre reminds me to a certain extent of a particular sect of thought that was here in the island, and I guess it's all around. They used to call them go preachers. They have a particular name for them here in the island. And I've talked to some of these people in the past, and they had a very curious view, mixing of home and church. Strange. They used to think of all homes as being churches. And they, this is at least the way one of them taught me, as I was speaking to him, and to their thinking, the head of every home was a bishop in that home. Well, it might all sound very religious and nice and clever, but it's not what the Bible presents us. And they get off in many areas, and they have what they call go preachers. These preachers have no homes or themselves, and they travel around to different homes and take up residence there for so long, and often they're women as well as men, and all kinds of disorder. Once you no longer give thought to what, you know, when you stop looking at the Bible and say, what's that pattern? How can we put that into it? And you just use your own ideas, beware. And so in some ways, it made me think of going, they were going down in some of those roads. And my approach to things in general is that whenever somebody has a little off here and there, well, so what? We're probably all off. I don't mean to be careless about this, but I'm saying I wouldn't discount somebody entirely because he has a few quirky ideas. He could probably get them straightened out in time. But when people are planning a whole new model, they change the functioning of it so it doesn't work the way God intended. That's serious. That's why this gender neutrality is such a serious thing in society. They're changing the model that God had when he made male and female. And that's why it's such a serious thing when the home has the model, has the paradigm changed. Beware, what's going on? Those things are dangerous. God has the blueprint laid out carefully so we can discern what the model is. It's in the New Testament. And my answer to some of these views and some of these ideas they have are this. If the church needs fixing, fix it. Right? If the church needs fixing, fix it. If the church can't be fixed, separate from it. Go to one that is practicing New Testament Christianity or start another church. But don't substitute something else for it. Don't make up your own blueprint and your own plan. This is the danger. And when I see a departure from the history of the independent church movement that is significant in certain areas, the red flags go up. I'm saying these people are changing the plan in certain areas and they're substituting another model. And I just can't follow after that and say and swallow up everything that I read. I look at it and I say, why was it done this way in the background of the independent church movement, and why are they suggesting this way? What's going on here? Which is biblical? And a similar paradigm change, I think, threatens through some of the thought processes here in a very area that they oppose, and that's the area of feminism. Now, I said earlier that Vision Forum teaching is a lot of teaching about the evils of feminism and how it's affected society, and they say some good things. Yet, when I step back and look, I find that some of their own methods show a rather strong lack of respect for the male leadership program that they profess. Much of the material that they produce is, and this includes books and CDs and so on, those are written by and produced by women. And beyond that, young girls, teenage girls writing books on such a profound thought of the model for the home. And you say, well, they're just having a testimony, but it appears to me that there's a danger here that they are actually becoming fronts, that they are simply acting as parrots for the ideas of somebody else behind. I doubt very much if these teenage girls originated a lot of the ideas that I found in their book. And I think that they're basically setting forth the ideas of some thinkers behind the scene. What I say is, why don't these thinkers write the books themselves and put their names on it, Mr. This, and why don't they give those books to the fathers and say, here's what we think. So there's a kind of almost a backdoor feminism taking place within this movement, because the women and the daughters are writing the book and saying, and they're not all bad that's in it. I'm not saying it's all bad. I'm just saying beware of the paradigm change. Because then these things are taking and where do they hawk them or make them available? They make them available on websites or conferences that are probably frequented the most often by the women. Because in the homeschool movement, it's been a problem. I know I've been in it a long time. That men are not as involved in it as women are. And sometimes it's, I suppose, a necessity. The women are at home and the men are out working. But nevertheless, if you're going to allow something to come into your home by this backdoor method and change the paradigm, and you're just going to assume that what was brought in is good, beware, that's not a biblical approach at all. And the Bible is full of examples of problems that came in because the order of men taking the lead was switched around to women taking the lead. It started in the Garden of Eden. I don't need to tell you what followed after that. And I believe this has happened. When you have a book written by a teenage girl, who is it basically designed to catch the readership of? Other teenage girls. And the ladies. And these ladies many times mean well. I'm not trying to downplay. They're working hard at what they're doing. But nevertheless, don't be deceived and drawn into a paradigm change which has hazards that threaten, because women are just as smart. They have every bit as much intellect as men. And I think on the other side, men are just as emotional as women are, in the sense, but how they work and how it affects the way they work is different. And God tells us in his word that the women are not to be in these places of leadership because they are prone to being deceived. And it's not because they have a lower IQ. It's just not the order God intended. He intended for men to take the lead, and he intended for women to be in support roles. And whenever that gets turned around, whoa, you see trouble. Whether it's Sarah taking the lead in Abraham, or whether it's Eve taking the lead over Adam, or what it is, it's bad business. And even though they do it with good intentions or for a good reason, it's bad business because it's a change in the paradigm. And I know for a fact, and even before I even heard of Vision Former, I suppose even before it existed, I've been involved in the homeschool movement now by way of homeschooling for a long time. And I saw problems raising their heads back then in this regard. I remember Barry and I went to a homeschool conference one time in New Brunswick. It was called the Home Educators of New Brunswick, HENB. I think we were the only roosters in the hen house. It was all women in control of it. And I think the only guys that were there was Barry and I, trying to take thought for our homes at this homeschool conference. And so you see, there is a potential of a backdoor sort of feminism affecting, in a large way, homes. And as I say, these are well-intentioned ladies, and probably the ones that write their book are well-intentioned, don't even think about what they're doing. But nevertheless, when you change the paradigm, it's an opportunity that the devil can take to bring problems in the back door into your house that you never thought of. So, as I said, it's something I've observed. In my opinion, in our own local sort of body of homeschoolers that have been around, and that I used to be, I'm not too active anymore. My children are all beyond homeschooling, and I saw influences, some long arms of some homeschooling ministries coming and influencing, and what I thought was through some of the ladies that were taking the lead in the movement here. They went in a different direction than I believed in, and I still think that. I still think it. So there's roles for homes, there's roles for people in it, but beware of this over-exaggeration. So taking what's a good family-centeredness, you know, what's more wonderful than the family? What's more close than the fellowship of a family? What greater blessings are there than in a family? And there is a certain element of family-centeredness to life. But when you take that, and that becomes your God almost in everything, and you try to make everything fit around it, beware. Let me also say a word or two about roles for churches. Now, it is true that in some of the material that comes out of this genre, that they give lip service to church going and tell people they should go to church. But again, my concern is that it is a church that's been reinvented. It's new patterns, not the ones that have been given from heaven. There are new models in mind. There is a new paradigm for the church. And this is an area that I have to be negative about Vision Forum and the influences they have, because I believe in this area it's very dangerous. Their own statements, and I don't have it with me, but I did print off the internet some of their own statements regarding their beliefs. They refer to the church as a family of families, or another place I think, a family of families and singles. So this is another example of this exaggerated significance of the family, that even when they speak about the church, it has to fall back under this umbrella so that the church is a family of families. And they'll add the afterthought, singles. The problem I have with this is it's simply not true. The church is not a a family of families, okay? You know what the church is? It's a family of regenerate people. The first birth has nothing to do with forming a church. It is the second birth that brings a person into the church. Now, again, it's an exaggeration, and there's nothing wrong with churches and families coexisting and being mutually supportive. Of course, a smart church should support families. What kind of a church would try to tear down the families? I've observed a long time ago that if you have a biblically ordered family, they work well in a church, and they're strong members of the church. And you have a family that's disorderly, sooner or later, there's friction through them in the church. So, of course, the church should support and teach about and encourage godly families and biblical order. And in like manner, the families should do what they can to strengthen the church. That's something that I've always believed. Christian couple are starting out raising children. One of the first things to teach those children, that it's important to serve and minister in the church, to support, that's God's house. And that they learn from the example of their parents about how to relate to the house of God and how important it is. But to call it a family might not seem like that big a deal. But if you follow it out, why would you make a statement of something which, if you follow out, leads in the direction of nominalism? It will lead to a nominal church rather than a living church. In other words, it will bring about a church like Protestantism became. And I believe that in the book of Revelation, which goes through the seven churches of Asia, I believe it was the church at Sardis that showed the character of the Protestant church. They came out of Roman Catholicism and recovered the doctrines of salvation, but they were not perfect in their works. They didn't come out all the way. They didn't take everything that they should have and thrown it aside and start off biblically. And they led to nominalism. Protestantism became nominalism. Became an orthodox, unbelieving body. I mean, they had state churches. What can a state church be but nominal? It's not a... And so these thinkings are there. And we're going to get to this when we get into some of our doctrines, you'll find that Protestantism is the root of the vision form thinking process. They think as Protestants ecclesiastically, and what a church is, philosophically, and theologically. You look at what are they celebrating all the time. They're going around celebrating John Calvin and the Reformation. Well, I love to read about the Reformation, and I think good things happened there. But I don't see John Calvin or any of these guys as people I want to pattern myself after. I believe that we have the privilege in the day and age that we're in the background of our beliefs and the heritage that we have out of the independent Bible-believing separatist church movement, that our heritage, if you want to continue to think in those lines, is Philadelphia. That is, after Protestantism sunk into nominalism, God brought about revivals, and people were concerned about not just being born again, but returning to the whole of the New Testament pattern. And of all the churches in the seven churches of Asia, it's the Philadelphia church that I want to be like. And I think we have that background and that privilege. And I think that these people want to take people back to Protestantism. They want to take, in effect, the Philadelphia church back to Sardis. They don't perhaps think of it exactly as that way. But they're taking evangelicalism and fundamentalism back to Protestantism. And as we look at some of the doctrinal things, and that's why I said it's hard to deal with a specific thing without wanting to go over and show the relationships in other areas. Another statement that one of their books made, they called the home the cradle of the church. That sounds good, doesn't it? But it isn't true. The home is not the cradle of the church. The church is something that comes out of the wound on Jesus' side and Calvary. It is a new creation altogether in a resurrected Lord. The church is a new creation. It didn't have its cradle in the home. It is through the finished work of Christ, through the wounds that he received on Calvary and in that resurrection life that he has, that new order that we are brought into by faith, that's what a church is. And let us be clear about those things. Let's not confuse the flesh and the spirit. So it's a very potentially dangerous teaching. And I hardly know how far to go and how far to not go and say it, but I'm at least drawing your attention to it. And so the roles for the church also to play have been redesigned in keeping with this kind of thinking. In almost every area, the roles within the churches have been redesigned because they have to bring it in somehow to this overarching principle of the family. And I think, again, they've gone to extremism. And they have a point, we know, in certain areas, in the dangers that are causing home breakups. And as I said earlier, they want to move to a greater family-centeredness, and I believe they're right in it. But when they make this family-centeredness so much that they just can't stand, for example, distinctive ministries of the church, and this is one of the teachings of it, they're against, for example, Sunday schools. And they say that age-selective ministries divide the church up, and divide the home up, I should say. And they're thinking about things that probably are real causes in other areas, because homes are being broken up. You have children that are taken out of their homes and they're brought into a huge, big field in their schools and in the society out there of a whole bunch of people their age that know less than they do probably, and they have children being subjected to a kind of mobocracy. And the parents go along with it. And they're taking their kids everywhere all the time instead of thinking about the home. And some lives are just mad taking their kids to this and kids to that. And the centrality of the home is being forgotten. That's a real problem. We need to beware of that. But yet then to go and say there should be no distinctive teaching for children in the church called a Sunday school, and that's breaking up the home, that's an extreme view. God has blessed the Sunday school down through the years. And you know, the Bible teaches that you should tailor your teaching to the need. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. Didn't he? And it says in the book of Isaiah, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So there's a building process. So it makes sense. And to my thinking, one of the primary purposes of Sunday school, you take little children that your doctrine teaches you, as much as you might love them, as wonderful they are, they're lost, and they need to be evangelized. And the Sunday school is a primary way to evangelize those children, lest you end up spending all your time reaching out to other people. You don't take thought for your own children and their evangelism and taking advantage of the gifted people within the church, the evangelist gifts, Sunday school teachers that can reach those children. Now, it's wonderful if you as a parent can lead them individually to the Lord, but there's nothing wrong with having evangelistic gifts also, just like there's nothing wrong with taking your child out to an evangelist with the hope that God might bless that ministry and answer your prayers and see the child saved that way. Why would it be wrong to have age-specific ministry? Why would that divide your house up? It's an extreme view. It's an extreme view, and it robs those people of ministries which are, and you know, these extreme views have their dangers. There's a price to pay down the road. They're going to find out down the road that we were wrong here, and that we followed these thinkers, and they were wrong, and we should have thought it out. We should have thought it out. And they're going to find that out down the highway. I believe it. We have, in our church, we have a meeting in which everybody can worship together. It's called the morning service. Or the evening service. Nobody makes anybody take their children out of classes or out of church and send them out. In fact, I encourage families to teach their children young. Sit in church. Good discipline for them to learn to sit still, even if they were learning calculus. What's wrong with restraining children? That's gone into the thoughts today. Teach restraint. Teach them the discipline. Teach them to sit still. What better place to do it than in church where they can sit and listen to the Word of God? However, we do have nursery facilities. If somebody wants to put them in nursery facilities, we're not going to argue with them there either. But to say that that is, again, an attack on the home, that is just nonsense. That's an extreme view. And as we see these restructuring of the home and restructuring of the church, the new paradigms, I get this sneaking suspicion that there's a big paradigm change behind it. Instead of having the nurturing and the pastoring and the evangelizing process that God has, you have a new program where these homes are taken, they're restructured to make sort of quasi-churches, and where do they get their ministry from? They get it online from an unseen face somewhere that has it to sell. And that's a real problem. That's a danger. Beware of these kinds of things. And I I guess I get accused. I get thought sometimes that I get mad at things. I guess it's my nature. I have a hard time smiling blandly at something that's wrong. To me, if it's wrong, it's wrong. And I'm not trying to downplay and overstate the statement, because they have good things to teach too, don't they? But we need to beware of dangers. So if there is a failure in the church and there needs to be a separation, then separate. But don't change the paradigm. Don't change the model. Don't change the plan. Sunday school has been something that God's blessed. And it's not the church itself. It's a ministry of the church, just like we have other ministries. Last thought I have for this message here this evening in regard to their changing of the paradigm of the church, the influence that they have. And as I read their books, there's always these little things, whether they're intentional or not, I don't know. But there seem to be like little barbs that diminish the significance and the importance of churches in people's minds. And they'll say things like, you won't hear this in your church. What is that saying? It's saying, we will say, tell you the truth. Don't trust your church. As I said, if there's a problem in your church, fix it. But beware of that kind. That's like somebody taking a child away from his parents and saying, your parents won't tell you this, but I will. What's going on? There's a wedge being driven into the plan that God shows us in the scripture for how to do things. God's blueprint. There's a wedge going in. There's a new plan coming. And the result of some of this kind of thinking and downplaying of the church is that there has been a very systematic departure from what we're commanded to do in Hebrews 10:25, where it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. One of the books that I read, which was written by these teenage girls called Botkin Sisters, the name of it is So Much More. I don't know if they took it from this verse or not. But it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The teaching of this verse is this. He's saying, Christians, you Christians that are there in the last days, as the days get more evil, and you see the day approaching, you see the time coming for Christ's soon return, days are getting darker, evil is taking control of people's minds. You Christians, give even more attendance to your Christianity and assemble together and come together as God's people and seek God's face and have the word. Do it so much the more. And the influence of some of these home ministries is just the opposite. It's so much the less. So much the less. So, again, I'm trying not to overstate my, but some of these things, they bother me. They bother me because I think they're going to victimize people down the road. And in the days ahead, I'm going to try to deal with some more of the issues there. And I'm going to try to present them again along the lines. And there are some things I can imagine whole messages which will be totally positive, because there's things about them. I think these things rise up because fundamentalists have not given thought to some problems that are arising in the home. Worldliness has come in. And they've said, let's judge that worldliness. And in those areas, good for them. Good for them. Anyway, let's stop there tonight.